I'm John Moe. This week on Wits, a bit of a crossover episode. We're joined by Peter Sagal. He's the host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, also a former screenwriter.
Let me just cut to the chase. I wrote Dirty Dancing 2, Havana Nights.
Havana Nights.
Without meaning to.
Peter has some advice you can use.
If you guys write a movie, a serious political drama about the Cuban Revolution, and someone asks you, can you make it more like Dirty Dancing? You should say no.
Plus, comedian Paul F. Tompkins reenacts one-star Amazon reviews of classic works.
Hello, Shakespeare! Is anyone home?
Comedy matters a lot to Paul.
Comedy can go to hell.
And art rapper Open Mike Eagle.
They can fly, run fast, we Portuguese. None of us have very much money, though. They know judo and yoga, photography, politics.
It's all on Wits, coming right up.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. It's great to be here. How are you? It's awesome. I appreciate your excitement. Well, yeah. I agree with you. Listen, we got a great show for you this weekend. Wait, wait. We got comedian Paul F. Tompkins.
Peter,
will be what?
Peter Sagal.
What?
You said you wouldn't do this.
That was just backstage chat. I was humoring you, John. No, come on, the people. It's time for the show to start. John, we got Paula Poundstone here with some of her rants about scientific studies. She's ready to be here.
That's John Munson. He's our band leader. That's not Paula Poundstone at all.
Limericks.
No, there's no limericks,
there
Peter Sagal.
There has to be a limerick.
No.
Then I don't, what do I, am lost.
Okay. It's going to be okay.
I feel scared.
I know you do. We're going to try this all again. It's going to be okay. From APM, American Public Media, and Minnesota Public Radio, this is Wits. I'm John Moe. Terrific show just ahead. The host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Peter Sagal, is here. As a guest.
A guest?
Guest.
You're making up words now.
No, it's a real word.
All right.
Comedian Paul F. Tompkins joins us as well. And art rapper Open Mike Eagle is here. Along with our house band, John Munson and the Witnesses, our acting company this week includes Janie Haddad Tompkins. He's an author, marathon runner, screenwriter, host of Constitution USA on PBS, but who are we kidding? This is public radio. You know him as the host of NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Peter Sagal. Welcome to Wits.
Hey, John. Great to be here.
Now, you do not come from broadcasting. You weren't a reporter. What was your pre-Wait, Wait background?
My pre-Wait, Wait background was that I was a playwright and screenwriter. I was living in Brooklyn, New York at the time. And basically, a manhole cover opened and I fell into this job and I've had it ever since.
You started in the early days of the show, you were one of the panelists.
I was one of the panelists. No one did, but if you were listening at that time, you would have heard me introduced as, and now joining us from Brooklyn, New York, playwright Peter Sagal.
Hi. Only on NPR, only in public radio would they say, we need a panelist. Let's go get a playwright.
Exactly. They have language skills.
Sure.
They're so articulate, those playwrights.
And so you were a panelist, and then you got bumped up.
I got bumped up. It was a combat promotion. They had, there's this great line, and whenever I tell the story, I think of this great line in Lolita, which is, you see, she had nowhere else to go. That's what it was. I was that or cancellation.
It's that old Peter Sagal-Lolita comparison that's
really
dogged you your whole career.
Yes.
Now, I understand in your writing career, though, at least one of your screenplays become a major motion picture.
A major motion picture. I wrote Dirty Dancing 2, Havana Nights.
Havana Nights.
Without meaning to. And it's great. I told the story once to Ira Glass on This American Life. Now I'm telling you, I hope to tell it on all public radio shows.
I got a call from Radiolab.
Yeah. Radiolab? Yes, Radiolab. Oh, yeah. So you wrote Havana Nights? Yes, I did. And? He did? Anyway. But yes, I wrote this movie. What had happened was is I had a Hollywood career that lasted, well, basically, this was it. I had written some plays. A producer liked them, said, hey, why don't you write this movie? It's about this friend of mine who was a 15-year-old girl in Havana at the time of the Cuban Revolution. And I wrote this screenplay based on facts. I researched it. I talked to people who were there. And there was Castro, and then there was Batista and the CIA and all this expatriate community. It was really cool. And then they got it, and the first note I got was, could it be more like Dirty Dancing? At which point, and let me just, this is a little tip for you. If you guys write a movie, a serious political drama about the Cuban Revolution, and someone asks you, can you make it more like Dirty Dancing? You should say no. In case that comes up. In my case, I said, sure, I will try to, and it just got worse and worse because, you know, I was the like, oh yes, who can really transmit the experience of a love-struck 15-year-old girl as she learns to dance with her Latin lover better than this 32-year-old Jew from New Jersey?
And writing about Castro.
Writing about Castro. So my drafts got worse and worse, and they finally fired me, and I went, you know, which often happens in Hollywood. And then some years later, through reasons that are way too complicated to explain, that producer got the rights to Dirty Dancing 2, took my screenplay, erased every bit of political reality, put in a lot more dancing, and it became Dirty Dancing 2.
Dirty Dancing 2.
Havana Nights.
Havana Nights.
Yes.
Now, our researcher also pointed out, and tell us if we're wrong, that you have a writing credit for the obscure 1996 action movie Savage.
Oh, this is true.
The subject line for the only IMDb review of the film reads, "Gods are famous of senseless actions, but this one went too far." What?
Before I hit the big time writing Dirty Dancing 2 without meaning to, I was hired by this lunatic. I was just talking about this with Paul F. Tompkins off stage. It's funny. This lunatic Israeli director named Avi Nesher. And he came to Hollywood and he made, among other things, Drew Barrymore's worst movie called Doppelganger. Look it up, people. And his movies got worse and worse, and I wrote one of them. This was the second vehicle he directed for a French kickboxer named Olivier Gruner, who was the poor man's Jean-Claude Van Damme, right? If you wanted the class and sophistication of Jean-Claude Van Damme, but didn't have the budget, you went for Gruner. And writing for Gruner was interesting. For one thing, he'd been kicked in the head a lot. For another, and this was true, he was from Paris, he could not say the letter R. It came out as this sort of guttural, ugh. And in his prior vehicle, which Avi had directed, the female protagonist's name was Nora Rochester. So the entire
movie... Did she work
movie,
on the railroad?
No, the railroad. The entire movie, he sounds like he's gargling. He just gargles and kicks people in the head. Like, oh.
So did you have to write a screenplay with no R?
It's hard. It's like that... It's like that French novel that came out with no E, uh-huh, right? It's yeah. Like I had to write an entire action screenplay with no letter R. And it was perhaps, it's out there. You should watch it, and I have a credit, and I'm excited.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And we're glad that you are where you are, or in among kickboxers, that you are where you are. Peter Sagal, everybody.
Thank you.
He is a Los Angeles-based rapper and hip-hop artist, a practitioner of art rap. His latest album is called Dark Comedy. Good friend of our show, here is Open Mic Eagle.
Floor of a Chinese restaurant, crowned in my hip like Simon Petrikov. Thought of a song called Thinking of Master Plans. Reagan and Rakim drinking in Amsterdam. Cafe back room meeting with Cancer Man. Engineering project Black Astronaut. The first scene in the film Prometheus. I wrote a brand new story that starts from there. I just need some help with the financing. I ain't got nobody to pitch it to. My friends are superheroes. None of us have very much money, though. They can fly, run fast, read Portuguese. None of us have very much money, though. They know judo and yoga, photography, politics. Some of them leap over buildings. Writers, magicians, comedians, astronauts. None of it mattered when people was hungry. My friends are superheroes. None of us have very much money, though. They wear the same underwear as billionaires. None of us have very much money, though. Hustlers, beat makers, drug dealers, sculptors, egomaniacal authors and bloggers. Some of them talk to the animals. None of it mattered when people was hungry. Said it's not valuable. Come say it to my face. Said it's disposable. Come say it to my face. It's not authentic though. Come say it to my face. I was hoping this device might cure my remembering. I'm 87% sure I invented it. High adrenaline, I'm rapping on a cake boss. Name on a dressing room so I ain't lost. Commencing countdown, take off. Another sound stage, rehearsing a fake spacewalk. Lil Wayne is an ancient African. Jay-Z's been around since the 20s though. The only new ones is Lil B and One Below. We only got 100 months to go until your hometown's covered under tons of snow. It goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 little Indians. When it's all over, I'll survive on a Pentium. Chips in a minute. Flavored memory sticks and I'll flash. Take a picture, cause I won't remember. Said it's not valuable. Come say it to my face. Said it's disposable. Come say it to my face. It's not authentic though. Come say it to my face. That's so ingenuine. Come say it to my face. My friends are superheroes. None of us have very much money though. They can fly, run fast, read Portuguese. None of us have very much money though. They can make hair grease out of fruits and herbs. None of us have very much money though. They can take selfies like Du Buffet. None of us have very much money though.
Open Mic Eagle with John Munson and The Witnesses. The new album is called Dark Comedy. What's that title about?
It's about me laughing at things that I'm sad about, mostly, and trying to find ways to do that in the form of a rap song over and over again throughout the course of the LP.
Like, what kinds of things are on?
Okay, for one, I'm afraid that my cell phone is going to poison me. I listen to public radio and I hear about these stories, this research about how the electromagnetic stuff is going to turn me. Yeah, so I wrote the song as if my cell phone had turned me into a large, hideous monster. And that's,
okay,
that's one of the things on Dark Comedy that you can look forward to. Check it out.
So it's your anxieties and then you're laughing at them through rap.
Yeah, so that I can sleep at night.
So you can sleep at night. I wonder if you could describe for our radio audience the setup that you have on stage here at the Fitzgerald Theater, because it's quite an amalgamation of items.
Well, there's two categories there. There's useful and unnecessary things on the table here.
Walk us through it.
Okay, so... Yeah, useful stuff, there's a computer and a MIDI controller and a digital interface, fun stuff, right? And on the other side, there is a crown, and then there's a bird that used to light up when I would, like, squeeze it a certain way. I'm pretty sure whatever battery is in there is quite dead now, so it's just a dirty bird.
Open Mic Eagle.
Yes.
Why open? Why not just Mic Eagle?
Okay, so... As a rapper and somebody who used to host like a lot of like poetry events on my college campus, people just started referring to me as Open Mic. Just kind of organically happened. I never really called myself that at first, but people started doing that. And so originally I was just Open Mic as a stage name, but then I found out that there's like three other open mics. There's one in Germany, for example, on the MySpace days. He used to post his songs on my page.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It was very, very confusing, and I used to get very uniquely and acutely upset about it.
In a MySpace kind of way.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's messing up my play counts, man. Like, that kind of thing.
He's not in my top eight at all.
Right. And so to avoid ever having to have those type of conversations with anyone, I just added Eagle, which is my given last name, to the open mic to make open mic Eagle, which is three words that don't really go together. But I've gotten quite used to them.
Well, it's, a lot of people have three names, and it works quite well. Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Okay. Yeah. That is a person.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes.
Lots of people. It works out just fine. Open mic Eagle, everybody. More with Peter Sagal, Paul F. Tompkins, and Open Mic Eagle in a moment. This is Wits. I'm John Moe. Portland, Oregon, we are coming for you. Wednesday, September 10th, we'll be at the Aladdin Theater with Jim Gaffigan, Reggie Watts, and Tao Nguyen of Tao and the Get Down, Stay Down. All information is at witsradio.org. This is Wits. I'm John Moe, here with rapper Open Mic Eagle, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me host Peter Sagal, and comedian Paul F. Tompkins. Folks, certain works are considered classics, but not by everyone. From time to time, we gather up one-star reviews, the lowest rating possible, of classic works from Amazon.com, and then we hand them to Paul F. Tompkins to perform his dramatic monologues. All the material is taken from the Amazon website. This is Amazon Review Theater.
The Beatles' White Album. This is without a doubt the greatest album ever. If you live in a world of lullabies and skiffle, these lyrical geniuses, as they are so often described, are so solely because half-wits give meaning to their nonsensical lyrics. It's kind of the magic eye of musical lyrics. If you listen long enough and ingest enough dope, maybe you'll find meaning in their words after a while. That nursery rhyme entitled Rocky Raccoon should be renamed, The Curious George Goes to the Saloon Rag. But if ever notice, Beatles fans are the same sheep that make it necessary for fast food joints to offer value meals. Simply, they need to have someone else decide what would be good to eat. Well, I say this. Here's another pellet for you if you're crazy enough to buy it, but we already know you will. William Shakespeare, The Complete Works. Hello, Shakespeare? Is anyone home? Most people will say that I didn't understand this, but I totally did, and it still stinks. It cannot equal the feeling I got from reading about Frodo and Sam climbing Mount Doom of the fight scenes were totally unrealistic. I'm into suspending disbelief and all, but Hamlet? Hello? Like a ghost living? Give me Mount Doom any day. Little Women. To make it better, please make it shorter. And not to have so many confusing plots in it. But it was still a little bit good.
Paul F. Tompkins, everybody. And now let's get to know one of our guests a little bit better.
I know this much is true.
Yes, it's I Know This Much Is True. We've asked Paul F. Tompkins to give this some thought and explain things that in his experience have proven to be true. Paul, what's true?
I have two that kind of go together.
All right, then.
One is... You'll allow it?
I'll allow it. Proceed.
So get a little Law and Order judge over here. You don't have as much time as you think. You have less time than you think. And if there is a relationship in your life, with specifically with family, that you need to repair or build or make good in any way, you really got to do it. Because my father, who was a very quiet person, we never had a falling out. We never had bad blood between us. He was just a very quiet person that I always described being around him was like being with a friend of a friend that you don't know that well, and you're struggling to come up with things that you might have in common to talk about, like, this guy likes movies, right? And I always wanted to have a closer relationship with my dad, but I was too intimidated and too scared to kind of make that happen, and I knew that it had to come from me, and he passed away without me really building that bridge. And so I regretted that for a while, which brings me to my next thing, which is you have to be okay with some of the choices you make. You can't beat yourself up about things forever.
Choices you have made previously?
Yeah, like I felt terribly that I had not established some sort of relationship with my father, knowing that it would have to come from me. But ultimately, I get to a place where it's too late now, and I gotta like let that regret go. I can't continue to let it eat away at me.
It's so funny describing your father that way, because that if I could pick an opposite of you in every way, I mean, you're very gregarious. I know someone, like everybody I know who knows you feels very close to you. Like, have you lived your adult life in counterpoint to him, or is this all from your mom or what?
My mother was very outgoing, for sure, and the rest of my family is. It was just my dad who was, like, off in his own quiet world.
Huh.
Who knows what happened in there?
And that's Paul Tompkins, and that's I Know This Much Is True.
I know this much is true.
Support for Wits comes from school. Are you an average child who never needs attention in any way? Then school is for you. And from birds who think it's time for you to wake up. After all, it's 4 a.m. and we're birds and we have nothing better to do but sit outside your window and scream. We get additional funding from Gloria Estefan, or if you translate her name from Latin, Glorious Steve. Pop song correspondences. Leonard Cohen text messages Leonard Cohen.
Hello, Leonard.
Good afternoon, Leonard.
Leonard, I'm writing a new song and wondering if you can help me.
Of course, my friend. What do you have so far?
heard there was a monkey witch who's hiding in a nearby ditch. But you don't really care for monkeys, do ya?
I worry people might not relate to it, Leonard. Monkey witches aren't real things.
But Leonard, that's the imaginative part. I like that feeling of mystery, Leonard. I'm Canadian.
So am I, Leonard. We're the same person.
Indeed, Leonard. That's why your opinion matters so much to me.
How does the rest of it go?
It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah.
Leonard, what do you mean by a baffled king?
Oh, Leonard, those are nonsense placeholder words. I'll put in real lyrics later.
Can I interject here?
Oh, it's Leonard Cohen. Hello, Leonard.
Hello, Leonard. Hello, Leonard.
Leonard.
I wrote a little something you might want to use in your song. It's about how it used to be before we talked to each other, Leonard to Leonard.
Baby, I've been here before. I've seen this room and I've walked this floor. I used to live alone before I knew you.
Say, Leonard, that is good. Thanks for the help, Leonard. Now, how does this sound?
I heard there was a monkey horde that David owned, and it pleased the Lord.
Leonard, are you talking about biblical David?
No, Leonard. David Cassidy.
I like that, Leonard. Appeal to the teenagers.
I think it could reach more people if it was more coherent.
Or co-inherent, Leonard.
Oh, L-O-L, Leonard.
I have an idea.
Leonard!
Maybe this would be a good song to use that secret chord we found in the abandoned well.
Oh, I don't know, Leonard. Perhaps you should just talk about the chord, but not play it.
Leonard, will I have room for the monkeys, though?
Leonard, maybe you can try, just as an experiment, writing lyrics that don't involve monkeys.
I know there is a secret chord I found one day when I was born. You never know what you'll find in abandoned wells, do ya?
Too many syllables, Leonard.
Well, could you leave out the well?
I heard there was a secret chord that David, King David, not David Cassidy, played, and it pleased the Lord. You're never clear on David's in music, are you?
Leonard, I don't think you're trying as hard as you can.
Leonard, that hurts my feeling.
I'm sorry, Leonard. I just want the lyrics to sound right. The rest will work itself out.
Leonard, you mean the rest is in the music?
Oh, yes. I don't care about the music right now.
I heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you?
Leonard. I think you got it. It's great.
Well, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm writing that down, Leonard.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Tompkins, Peter Sagal, Open Mike Eagle, John Munson, Janie Winterbauer, and the witnesses, and me, all as Leonard Cohen. Now, a wits game show. This week's game, Impossible Choices.
Impossible choices, only impossible.
Peter, Paul, Mike, the three of you will work as a team in this game. I will present you with an impossible choice. You won't want to choose, yet choose you must because you're on my show. Then I will tell you whether or not you were right. You're free to consult, but I will need one answer coming from the three of you. Here we go. You're on a hike. You run into a bear. The bear informs you that he's going to eat you unless you're willing to go back in time and punch either the ghost of Abraham Lincoln or the ghost of Albert Einstein. This is a tough call since you learned in science class that punching ghosts erases the good that the ghost did in his life. Which ghost do you punch?
I was really ready to say Lincoln pretty fast.
Oh, yeah.
Until that last part.
Yeah. Why, Mike? I mean, is there something about the way he looks? And
you don't like that hat?
Something about him was just
gonna knock that hat clean off, that son of a gun.
Way more punchable.
So can I ask about the bear?
No.
Because this is a bear with really specific needs.
We're living in a world of ghost punching. Accept the scenic reality.
I'm willing to buy that a bear might offer me a choice of some kind.
Can we do some pros and cons real quick?
Okay.
If we punch the ghost of Lincoln and erase all the good he did, it was really only that one thing, right?
Gee.
That I feel like, nope. Now,
pretty important thing, though.
No. But hear me out.
Nothing.
Hear me out, Mike.
Nothing to sneeze at.
Mike, hear me out.
Yeah, I like this. Hear me out, Mike.
There's more.
Now.
There is more.
Just open your mind on this, Mike.
I feel like. So, that was a thing that had to happen. So if not Lincoln, it was definitely going to happen.
Oh, slippery slope there.
I know. But with Einstein, people are rejecting science left and right in the 21st century. And so I feel like if we erase all the good that he did, then probably the best we get out of it is the atomic bomb.
Gentlemen, are you Lincoln punchers?
No. I've got. The problem is that Lincoln was a historical actor, and if he wasn't there to act, he might not have acted. History might have played out quite differently.
Sold. Let's punch
however,
Einstein.
You have
however,
15 seconds.
Einstein discovered, he was the first and ingenious to do so, but he discovered a physical property of the universe, which is there. Somebody else would have discovered it. And today, you know, it might have been like somebody else, like named Berkowitz. So if somebody else... It would have been a Jew, let's admit that. And so then if you said something stupid today, we'd say, oh, thanks, Berkowitz. But otherwise,
okay,
the universe would be the same.
We would just be down like one episode of Cosmos.
Exactly.
That's pretty much it.
So, gentlemen, are you punching Einstein then?
I say Einstein.
Einstein.
Einstein. Einstein is the correct answer. Congratulations. Next question. George Clooney and Matt Damon are co-presidents of the United States of Clooney Damon.
United States of what?
Clooney Damon.
Glad I asked.
They force you to decide which of them will be your best friend. This doesn't sound too bad at first, but there's a catch. Being besties with G to the C means that you'll be unable to taste food for the rest of your life. That's if you choose Clooney. If you choose Damon, you'll develop an irresistible craving for kitten meat. Please pick one.
All right, so you can pick George Clooney as your best friend, but if you do that...
You'll never taste food again.
Never taste food again. If you pick Damon as your best friend, an irresistible,
craving
insatiable
for kitten.
Craving.
Yeah, you
kitten.
Can never get enough kittens.
What's really interesting is that kind of takes the whole question of who would you actually like to be your best friend really out of the picture, doesn't
it? It's immaterial at this point. They're both pretty great
that
guys.
That was a feint. I was thinking Clooney, Damon, both good.
See, you're a host of a quiz show. You spend too much time questioning the questions.
and you clearly are not the host of a quiz show.
I am not.
Well, you get him, Pete. So,
this is my turf, mister. Anyway, so the question to us is really, Damon Clooney, who cares? I feel that
kittens are not tasting food.
Yes, I feel that the earth is chock full of pleasures, and I think that as someone who struggles with issues of food, it would be a blessing to not taste food ever again, because I would just eat till I wasn't hungry anymore, and I would never eat for comfort. And I also wouldn't be eating kitten meat. And George Clooney has that house in Italy, right?
Nice.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Clooney is the correct answer. Congratulations.
Right.
You're 2 for 2.
That was a close one.
All right.
I would have eaten the kittens. Nobody asked.
Apparently, you and Matt can go off and eat all the kittens you want.
Right.
The international...
You didn't tell me Matt would eat kittens with me.
That changes the picture, doesn't it?
The International Society of Fun Things had their funding cut and are being forced to get rid of one of the world's fun things. Please help them decide whether to get rid of comedy or pizza.
Oh, pizza. Pizza. Is there any question?
I beg your pardon.
Professional comedian Paul F. Tompkins?
Yeah. Speaking as someone who has struggled with issues of food and who is a comedian, comedy can go to hell.
Really?
Yes.
But
I'll find something else to do.
But if there was no comedy, and
maybe I'll open a pizza parlor.
If there was no comedy, just pizza, you would then be a sad, unemployed man, really struggling with food problems.
So, like, I would think there's something I should be doing, but it just doesn't exist.
I know.
You'd go on stage and just say facts.
I guess I'll have another piece of pizza.
This is not sounding bad to me, Peter.
I say get rid of pizza, because if you get rid of all pizza, some of which is good, you get rid of Chicago pizza, which is my bete noir. And it's worth it.
Mm. Wait, let me say, get rid of Chicago pizza.
Oh, let's not do this.
Oh, no. How would this affect the opening of Louis, which features both comedy and pizza?
And is there no longer laughing allowed? If you laugh at something, does it just disappear at that point?
I think the institution of constructed humor into comedy is no longer there, but things may still be funny.
So I can just laugh at pizza then?
You can laugh if the pizza's funny enough.
Okay. So if you were eating your pizza at home, you'd just be watching documentaries then?
Yeah.
Dramas.
Just sounds like a Tuesday night at my house.
Let's get an extra large anchovy and crank up the sorrow and the pity again.
That's
hey, Mrs.
Right.
Mo.
Yeah.
All right.
Public broadcasting, dude. Gentlemen, I need a decision. Do you eliminate comedy or pizza?
I say pizza.
I vote pizza as well.
2 against 1, I'll go along with the crowd.
Pizza is the right answer because a flatizza would still be allowed.
Oh.
Yeah. 3 for 3, congratulations.
I actually want the audience to know he's actually keeping score.
I am.
He makes little hash marks.
Look, some of us can keep score on our own and don't need any announcer. Congratulations, Peter Sagal, Paul F. Tompkins, and Open Mike Eagle. So the other day, I had this work thing across town. It was a commitment that I had made a long time ago, and it happened to be at the same time that my 6-year-old daughter was having her last ballet class, which meant that the parents were invited to come and watch and see them perform. And I felt terrible to miss this, and I told her I was so, so sorry. Mommy would take a video. We'd all watch it together later that night, and she was sad, but she said she understood. And as the day unfolded, it really ate away at me. And I realized that if I left a little bit early and gambled that traffic wouldn't be that bad, I could make at least part of the show. It would just be a brief appearance. It would be totally stressful for me, but she would be happy. And then I'd feel less like the dad and Cats in the Cradle, so everybody wins. So I went. Now picture this. 10 little girls, each about 6 years old, crossing the stage in silence, one by one, taking their turns, doing whatever dance-like motions they felt like. Some of it was kind of ballet. One girl did what I could only describe as a karate scoot. Many had flailing Muppet arms, like when the Muppets run. None of it was choreography at all, but it was pretty cute. And then a few minutes in, the teacher put on this music. And each girl staked out her own section of stage upon which to dance freeform, spinning around, narrowly avoiding whacking other girls in the head.
I heard that you're settled down, that you found a girl and you're married now.
They danced to Someone Like You by Adele. If you don't know it, this is a song about the only person you'll ever love being with someone else. A song about having to pretend that that's okay when it is in fact killing you. It's a song about confronting that person with your feelings. Listen to these words.
I hate to turn up out of the blue uninvited, but I couldn't stay away. I couldn't fight it. I had hoped you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me, it isn't over.
And here are 6-year-olds. Obliviously whirling as heavy emotion pours from a small boombox on the floor of the elementary school gym. It was hilarious. And then it was kind of sad. Because there's my daughter. There's my little girl who loves ponies and dress up and being silly. And she doesn't hear the lyrics. And she doesn't know the heartbreak that Adele is talking about. Yeah, sure, one boy in her class did ask her to marry him, and she declined because he smelled like an egg. But she'll grow, and she'll fall in love, and someone is going to break her heart. And she won't remember how she danced that day in the elementary school gym. The whole show is over in 10 minutes, and then everyone put away their chairs and went home.
Nothing compares, no worries or cares, regrets and mistakes, their memories made. Who would have known how bittersweet this would taste?
More with Open Mic Eagle, Peter Sagal, and Paul F. Tompkins in just a moment. This is Wits. I'm John Moe. This is Wits. I'm John Moe, here with rapper Open Mic Eagle, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me host Peter Sagal, and comedian Paul F. Tompkins. This is Paleolithic Shark Tank, where the smartest cavemen present their inventions to our panel of more evolved investors. Bog is an animal pelt thousandaire who is the first of his tribe to move into a cave.
I also run a lucrative mud hole.
And Thag. Thag owns many sharp sticks and wears only the finest moss.
If success is judged by the number of fingers a man still has, and it is, well, I'm doing pretty well.
First into the shark tank is an entrepreneur, Grack, with a new idea.
Hello, investors. I, Grack, this rock. Rock have many uses. One can hold rock. One can throw rock. Rock do everything. There never be anything like rock.
Interesting. Can I hold rock?
Yes, but do not throw rock at Grack.
No. If your claim is that you can throw rock, certainly you can't expect us not to throw rock.
Grack afraid of rock now.
Maybe Grack is afraid of success.
No, Grack afraid of rock.
Rock is heavy. I like how rock feels.
Well, let me hold rock. Oh, yes. 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 Rock does feel good in the hand. Rock feels like it wants to be thrown.
Grack has fear. Grack, run now.
You're running from success, Grack.
Well, now we'll never figure out how rock works.
Next into the tank is an inventor who knows where he stands.
Me, Zan, me have ground. By ground, by now.
Your invention, you're saying, is ground, as in the ground we are all sitting on now.
Yes, by now, by ground.
Hey, the ground belongs to everyone, Zan. It is not a product. No man can own it.
Yes, you buy. Good.
Oh, dear, this one's particularly Neanderthal. I'm going to speak to you in a language perhaps you'll understand. Zan, go.
Huh?
Go! Go, Zan, go! Yep, he is running away.
Ground ownership, come on.
Really?
Next into the tank is an inventor with a hot idea.
Oh, wow. What is that?
That is a lady.
No. What is the lady holding?
Oh, yes. That, it fills me with fear, but I am drawn to it.
Me, Uga, and this fire. Fire hot, fire bright, fire comforting.
It's hard to believe one product can be all of those things.
Fire make food hotter and better.
But how could food be better? Food is food.
But fire make better.
Do you mind me asking how fire achieves these results?
Uga cannot explain it. It's proprietary technology.
I would like to hold fire or taste it. What does fire taste like?
Fire tastes like anger. Do not taste. Trust Uga.
Well, I would like to make an offer right now. I will give you a large, comfortable bed of moss and many sharp sticks for 100% steak of fire.
That generous. But Uga want to hear Bog offer.
Bog will make an offer if Bog can have a small taste.
Uga has seen man taste fire, then man scream and have no talking.
Maybe a regular man? I am a smart man. I will taste fire.
It does look like it would taste good, doesn't it? I will join you.
Okay.
I'm on fire! My nose burns!
No!
Uga tries to warn investors. Uga is investor now.
Come back next week when new investor Uga sees if she likes things. Paul F. Tompkins and Peter Sagal as judges, Janie Haddad Tompkins and Open Mike Eagle and me as contestants. Please welcome once again Open Mike Eagle.
Maybe we
should've stayed where we was. We hopped in thinking it was a game, and it was. We made it and celebrated post-game with the buzz. My hindsight's blurry, it's looking great with the fuss. Trying to muster all the foresight I can use for the road, cause out here ain't no street lights I can't view. Where it goes, it's supposed to be the desert. I'm confused cause it's cold, seeking what sunlight reflecting off the moon could expose. Took two for the road, drank three to the dome, drank four in a zone, couple hits from the bowl, hit the road. But maybe we should have stayed where we was. We hopped in thinking it never rains, but it does. And this is the loneliest stretch of road we done seen. 200 miles to go and not a pole in between. Don't roll, don't careen, two hands on the wheel, keep control. I don't know if I'm speeding or going slow in a dream. Sliding in a shimmer ship, hidden by the riverbank, hovering over the desert, running out of real estate. Giant silver snake, grinding, trying to hit the brakes. Big mistake, just trying to stay awake on the interstate. I can't touch the bottom, but I'm floating hella deep. I had a co-pilot, but they fell asleep. You supposed to be another set of motherfucking eyes. You shared your entertaining thoughts, but now I'm stuck with mine. Damn near and blind. Don't know why you trust me to drive. I guess cause every time you trust, we survive. But each time is a and gamble. Eventually Lady Luck will call and say she cancels. You betting on my confidence when I was extra high. Now I'm extra high. We'll pull over just to rest my eyes. Now the only thing fueling me is that I'm scared to die. And I'm scared for you cause you could die and never said goodbye. Why you trust me so? Why'd you let me lead when I don't know where I'm going and I speed? And this vehicle's the janky. Yes, I feel this coffee booming in my stomach and my pancreas. Signs make me the angriest. So foggy, the words seem to be turning different languages. I'm sliding in a shimmer ship, hidden by the riverbank, hovering over the desert, running out of real estate. Giant silver snake, grinding, trying to hit the brakes. Big mistake, just trying to stay awake on the interstate. Maybe we should have stayed where we was. This is the loneliest planet I've ever seen. And I am in no state to try to fly this machine. I don't know this terrain. All my instruments are twisted. All my needles won't behave. I don't know what's in this atmosphere. So when we finally crash, I don't know if we'll be able to breathe, if we'll be able to leave. I have the tools to repair whatever structures we share. I know at first it was yeah, but I was so unaware of like the cost of the fuel. It started awesome, now we're tossed and I lost all of my cool.
Open Mic Eagle with John Munson and the Witnesses. Want more Wits in your life? Go to witsradio.org and find out how you can see a Wits show in person. You can sign up for our newsletter there, get the latest information about what our various Wits guests are up to, or tell us what you're up to on Twitter. Just tag us, we're at Wits. Thanks to our guests this week, Peter Sagal, Paul F. Tompkins, and Open Mic Eagle. Thanks to our broadcast engineer, Corey Schrappel, our coordinating producer, Hans Buto, and our intern, Sam Siegel. And Fitzgerald Theater staff, Tom Campbell, Mike Wongan, Andrea Ayers, Aaron Cassio, and Dan Zimmerman. Wits is written by me and Ben Acker, Wendy Molyneux and Jeff Drake, and Mike Fotis. Our acting company this week included Janie Haddad Tompkins. We're joined by music director John Munson and the Witnesses, Steve Rome, Joe Savage, Richard Medick, and Janie Winterbauer. Our executive producer is Peter Clowney. Wits was created by Tony Bowl, senior producer Larissa Anderson, and me. I'm John Moe. Bye now.